We've just done 16 weeks about eternal self.
Oh, interesting.
And that was because we came to an impasse about 6 months ago. We came to an impasse where you guys were on one side of the wall saying, I want to continue. And I was on the other side saying, you can't continue, you don't continue. Well, here we are 16 weeks later, or 16 presentations later, plus a few asides in there somewhere. What have we gained out of these 16 weeks? Anything? What can you tell me about your eternal self? Anything at all? But before we go there, also before this evening, I was watching an interview of Sean Hannity, and he was interviewing two guys about that NFL colored guy that shot his girlfriend and then shot himself. Anyway, one guy had this conversation. He made his say the first. And when the second guy was interviewed, the first guy never stopped over talking him. It really got disgusting. And I thought, you know, that's kind of like, I feel like the last 16 weeks were all about. That no matter what I said, your old beliefs and conversations kept talking over everything I said. That's not a complaint about you. It's just that your old beliefs, whatever they are, were just chattering away all the time, every week, every Monday, to where, hell, who knows whether you heard anything I had to say. So, the question is, anybody get anything out of the last 16 weeks, or should we just move on and forget it?
I'm thinking, you know, right off the bat, anything I gained is... It's been 16 weeks. I don't know what I could pull out individually, but I will say what I've gained is a...
You don't like have to have gained anything.
What?
You don't have to have gained anything. And you don't have to have agreed with or listened to anything I said. I'm just asking if you did.
Right.
Did you?
Right. Right. Do you want me to tell you?
Yep.
Okay. So I've gained, I guess I can talk more about, I've gained a personal sense of, a more expanded sense of myself and of life.
What does that mean?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Because I was always thinking that of, you know, I continued. I was always dragging past with me in memory, and that's sort of been a burden of trying to resolve and, you know, fix and whatever so I can, you know, do or begin anew. But with the idea of just begin again, or that I don't continue, or that, that I don't continue, but I don't not continue,
What does that mean?
I find it... What?
I don't continue, but I don't not continue. You're using the words without telling me what you're talking about.
It means that each moment, I guess there's a... Well, I don't know how to exactly explain it. Each moment supplants, it replaces. It's a brand new moment, and it replaces anything prior.
So you change the subject. I want to know, stay, and I don't necessarily say you can't go there, but you then have to make the connection between you don't continue, but you don't not continue. That's what I'm trying to find out. What the hell does that mean to anybody?
You know, actually, it's interesting. I have that as a thing that in and of itself gives me an image, and I don't have a description of the process or how that occurs.
What image do you
have? I just have that as a thing. Well, what I was trying to explain about this moment has replaced the prior moment and everything before.
What does that mean?
And in that, it's a whole new... It's a... this is a whole new universe and a whole new me and a whole new everything, period.
Anyone want to add to that? I don't understand what Andrew's talking about. I really, really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a glass of wine, so I don't know. Well, Andrew, I guess nobody out there willing to help you out, huh? Or has that helped me out, I guess?
Well, I don't know what to add. I think I agree with Andrew.
I don't understand what he's talking about. Would you tell me what he's talking about, what he's saying?
I don't understand why you don't understand
because
what I'm talking about.
Because
if you could tell me like where I missed you, that would be help right there.
Because you are using clauses and phrases that are, in a sense, adjectives and adverbs. And I don't know what you mean by that. What does begin again and again and again mean? What does each moment... relative to what we're talking about, what does each moment replaces the prior moment? What does that mean to you? Make a connection for me.
I got a picture. You know, really, that's kind of a gap I have, to be honest with you, because all I have is a picture of, like, the entire physical universe pop out of existence, and a new one is there to replace it faster than I can realize it. When I say each moment, I don't mean just time. I mean the whole freaking universe. And I really don't have anything else to picture other than that. It's like
the point I'm making, if you're living a moment and a moment and a moment, one moment does not pop out of existence and another moment begins.
Oh, see, now that's good to know, because I don't really have that all fuggered out and wired down. Can't really talk about that. But I'd like to. I'd like to be able to see that, to see what it is that does happen then. That's what I'm trying to say.
But part of that anyway, is a small but significant part of what we're talking about. You see, what you're doing...
Really?
Yes, because what you're doing is you are a requiring an ending before a new beginning.
Yes, that's, I think, in fact, what I was struggling with for a long time. And now I've kind of gone on with that, and I guess it's still in there, that there's an ending. Oh, crap, that's interesting.
And when I say one moment replaces the other moment, I never said there was an ending of any moment. It just merely replaces it. Begin again doesn't mean that there is an ending. But your language and your normal beliefs chatter away, and you only believe that you cannot have a new beginning unless there's an ending.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very interesting. Yep, that's right. That's in there. I forgot about the begin.
Yeah. So my question to you, Karen, is, well, I understand everything that Andrew was talking about. Are you stuck in the endings before beginnings?
Well, I may well be, but I mean, the whole idea of begin, makes sense to me. I mean, the picture I have is each new begin is just adds to the whole thing. So there's no end. None of those begins ever end. So there's just always another begin and another begin and another begin. So.
Well, then what you're saying here is where I was, Andrew, in talking about begin again and again and again, or moments replaces the other, he was speaking of endings and beginnings. You say, I don't understand. I understand what Andrew's talking about, but you're thinking only beginnings, beginnings, beginnings without an ending per se. And so now when you ask me, well, why don't I understand what Andrew was saying, it is because the same words have two or more or even a dozen entirely different meanings or relationships to what then follows. And so when I say begin again or beginning again or whatever, if I'm saying this correctly, then I'm saying that as there is no ending. But I'm also saying, if there is no ending, that you don't continue. Now, how do you wash those two, well, apparently self-contradictory concepts?
See, that's interesting, because I think that hearing the you don't continue, I did have an ending concept, and I didn't, it kind of like, if you want to say, it talked over the other thing you were saying about begin, you're right, I didn't put those two together. I was struggling more with an ending than I was about looking at a beginning.
And your whole life is a struggle about and against endings. And when you're devoted your life, to your focus on endings or not endings or whatever, you're not focused on beginnings. And so your life continues in the same ilk.
That's right. That's very interesting.
Well, that's kind of what I'm trying to say here, is that no matter what I say, then too frequently what happens is your old language overtalks everything I'm saying. And I could say till I'm blue in the face, you don't end. And language says, oh, yes, you do. You can't think of beginnings without endings. Well, tonight's discussion, I'm not too sure we got too well with eternal, and I bring that up only because what we're going to go into is sentience and provenance. And then somewhere in here we're going to go back and do the thing that Patrick originally typed on exercises to bring your eternal self into your life. But I thought I'd just leave eternal self alone here for a minute, go into a couple of other things, but you we're going to get into some things like begin again and again and again, and there are no endings yet. Though there are no endings, you don't continue, but you don't not continue either. And eternal as reoccurring does not mean immortal. And yet in all of those seeming contradictions, there are no contradictions. This is the problem. We don't know or haven't learned how to see or get our head above the contradictions. We drown in the contradictions.
Okay.
So, pay a little of attention to sentience. We're going to get into a couple of issues, but we'll really get into some issues in terms of provenance.
You say sentience?
Yes, sentience. S-E-N-T-I-E-N-C-E. By the way, Simone, as long as we have you on the phone, your dream is all about what's going on in your life today, the comings and goings and etc., for you to decide just what you want, either as a personal being and eternal being, and live that and it'll be okay. So everything in your last email is a presentation of that dream. The dream preceded your email. The dream preceded the event. And that whole event and email and dream is trying to give you an eternal view of yourself. Okay. Thousands of years ago, man created a written language to convey information across time and space, which enabled
people... I have a question to what you just said.
Yeah.
My dream was about, can you repeat that, please?
Well, I don't really want to get into your dream. I brought that up. I don't want to get into your dream. Send me an email about your dream. And the word we're talking about is sentience, S-E-N-T-I-E-N-C-E. I don't need...
Yes.
Okay. So, the written language enabled us, man, to convey information across time and space. In other words, I could write something today and give it you tomorrow, and you could read it in some other place, and we've communicated across time and space. You see? Hooray for written language. Yep. And that, where am I? And that enabled people to pass on from one generation to the next what they had learned about life and pass that on to future generations. In other words, you say, well, here I am in life and nobody gave me an owner's manual. The presumption is that written language was established so that prior generations could sort of write out an owner's manual for you and pass on to you the things they had learned about life so that you didn't make the same damn mistakes or problems or difficulties. That's a wild-ass presumption. The problem with all this is that the earliest example we have of that written language is about who had paid their taxes. So here we have this written language that does all this stuff to give you information about your life, and they use it to say who paid their taxes. Sounds like today, doesn't it? What you need is information about you and living life to the fullest. Otherwise, you're kind of reinventing the wheel every time somebody or a generation is born. They reinvent the world wheel, call it something else, and start over again and make the same damn mistakes. That makes sense. Through the ages, written language has been used to convey this information about science and sort of metaphysical concepts, about religion and spirituality, about mechanical and philosophical concepts of life, about mysticism, and of course about taxes. But where in all of this is there anything about you and your living as you truly desire? It seems that you don't really matter. Or maybe no one knows very much about the subject of you and living as you truly desire. In the same way as we could say 16 weeks of discussing eternal, maybe if you so that in living those 16 weeks, maybe you really don't understand anything about eternal. Maybe your old beliefs or ideas or concepts talk over everything we're saying.
Roger?
Yes?
Can you just say a little bit more about how language doesn't say anything about me? Like, I can say, I'm a human being, I'm female, I'm 5'2", whatever.
But that doesn't say anything about you. And it certainly doesn't tell you anything about how to live the self and life you desire. It doesn't. It describes you from the outside and is really only talking about your body, but doesn't talk or say anything about the you have a feeling or sense of.
Well, but what if we I mean, you've said many times that you figure out how the universe works and share that. Isn't that talking about you?
Only if I show you in that your place in the universe. You see, science doesn't do that. Science has no place for you. Science doesn't discuss intentions, or it'll talk about causes, but not why causes, not intentions of causing. It doesn't talk about you and doesn't have a place for you. And religion really, really, really only talks about God.
Mm-hmm.
And talks only about you're supposed to be faithful to God. It isn't talking about you, it's supposed to be what you're supposed to do for God. So technically and actually, philosophy talks about concepts, but doesn't talk about how you can live the self and life you truly desire. You need an owner's manual, or want one, or wish you had one, or something. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We okay? Science yep. talks about causes, but doesn't talk about who, what cause. Religion talks about who, what cause, but doesn't talk about any intentions of his causing. I gotta move a chair. Say something profound.
Something profound. Mm-hmm.
Keep talking. I have a sore leg and I can't sit in one chair. I have to change chairs here.
Okay.
I really screwed up my leg the other day. I was working. Okay. Alright. Maybe this chair. Oh, that'll be better. Alright. Where was I? Okay. Much of what you think, like Karen's example there, much of what you think is about you really isn't. It's about what science thinks, about what religion and spirituality thinks, about what God thinks, and it's about what philosophers think about life. And all of that is only about what language lets them think. And all of that is about, in a sense, what you should think. Does it seem wise to rely on such advice? Science says this is what's happening. You should be aware of that and follow in accord. Religion says this is what occurs and this is what's going on. You should, philosophers say, if you believe in this philosophy, this is what's happening, and etc., and therefore you should do it this way. Does it seem wise to rely on this advice? And the answer might be to me, no. But then what advice can you rely on? Unfortunately, you have bet your life and future on all of this advice. So the question is, does it seem wise to continue in these ways? You have bet your life on continuing, avoiding death, avoiding endings, or trying to create endings. If you like it, you want to avoid endings, and if you don't like it, you want to create ending. And that's essentially the sum total of your life. The question is, does it seem reasonable to continue in these ways? Well, sentience, and that's S-E-N-T-I-E-N-C-E. Sentience is a field of knowledge about self. Everything I've been talking to you about for lots of years is about sentience. I just decided to give it a name. It's all about you. I only write and speak about you. If I say the universe does this, I then say that that allows you to do that. Sentience is knowing and understanding what you need today. And reason for that is because you were born in life completely unaware of yourself. Unaware of your history and provenance. You are... What?
About the history and what?
Provenance. Provenance. By the way, the word provenance, it means history. In other words, if I was selling you an antique picture painted by Van Gogh, you wouldn't say, well, what provenance is this? You would want a history of that picture from Van Gogh's hands painting it to his, let's say, his brother. What the hell was his brother's name? I forgot.
No idea. He had a brother.
Yeah, well, anyway, Van Gogh only sold one painting in his life. I'm too sure that his brother sold too many at all. But anyway, you would want to know the history of Van Gogh to his brother to... he sold it, had an art shop in Paris, I think. And then it went to Lord somebody who passed it on to Queen Hobody, and etc. To down to... Here is that painting. The provenance then establishes the history of that painting back to its source, or as close as you can get back to its source of Van Gogh. But provenance also means source itself. So when we get in here next week or the week after, we're talking about provenance. Provenance is the history of yourself and the source of yourself. It's the source of yourself in it is as it is. The past history of yourself is the source of yourself. You are self-aware, but you are unaware of the expansive and extensive nature of yourself. You don't believe that, but let's see if we can get through some of tonight to show that that may be true. And you are unaware of the source of yourself. Anybody can interrupt any time. The real problem in your life today is that you sense a more expansive and extensive nature of yourself. And you compare and try to live, or you struggle with and against that broader sense of yourself without really having an image or a vision of what that is all about. And doing that, trying to live that greater aspect or sensing it or feeling it, or it's always in there jiggling against what the hell you're doing. That puts every aspect of yourself and life out of focus. In a sense, we would say, okay, well, look, science says, this is what you're doing, focus on this. And religion would say, no, you're a spirit, you're a great, wondrous spiritual being, so you should be doing that. And you say, okay, well, what is this spiritual being that I am? Oh, religion won't tell you that. So you have this sense, but you don't really, even if you say, oh, well, I'm going to continue, you live a life of bliss, you have no concept of what that is. That's a promise of it's a blind promise of what religion offers you, and you don't even know what the hell they're talking about. And that's because we use language in a way, in a manner, of not to really describe or communicate what we see or what we feel or whatever. We just use words. They don't mean anything. You're a spiritual being. What the hell is that? I don't know. But you must be one of them. And don't you understand is that you're either struggling with and against your life, your daily life today, or you're struggling with and against being a spiritual being that you don't know what the hell that is. Anytime you don't understand what I'm talking about, you just jump right in there and interrupt.
Well, it makes sense so far, so I'm not interrupting.
Well, I don't mean to make sense.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Why not?
Because I'm telling you, at this point, I'm more or less talking about what religion and science has to offer you. Zip!
Yeah.
Really, zip! You don't care about how your cell phone works, as long as it works for you. You don't care about how the universe works, as long as it works for you. Science spends all its time trying to figure out how the universe works, but can or won't tell you how it works for you. And religion will tell you all about God, but not tell you how God works for you. Mm-hmm. And certainly will not tell you how you, as a spiritual being, can work for you either. They won't even tell you what the heck that looks like. When some teachers tell you to rid yourself of ego, they don't realize that this would mean getting rid of self, which you aren't willing to do. But the original meaning of this ego was rid yourself of your confined and limited image of self. And this we hope to do. Are you willing to get rid of your confined and limited image of self? You would say, yes, yes, yes. But I say, if you want to continue, you just trapped yourself in continuance and made life a living hell for you. Does that make anybody sense in there?
Mm.
And if you say to me,
old things over again.
What?
In the sense of doing old things over again and over.
I don't quite understand. You're coming in half sentences there, Simone.
I start again.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you mean your last sentence in the sense of that we keep repeating the same things over again?
I think I agree with you, but I'm not too sure exactly what you're saying. And part of the reason is you're not telling me what you're saying. You're saying, do I mean this relative to something I've said, but you haven't told me what you are really referring to.
Okay, would you repeat what you said?
What I said was, when teachers tell you to get rid of your ego, that really means you think ego is something different, bad, etc. That really means get rid of yourself. But self, ego did not originally mean self. Ego originally meant to get rid of your limited and confined image of self. What would it take to get you... See, that's what I was trying to do with eternal self. What would it do to take to get you to get rid of your confined and limited image of self? What could I do? What could I say? Well, yeah, you see, I have the same problem. What do you say? Because I'm working against the old beliefs that speak over everything I say. Oh, I don't believe that. You gotta have an ending. You can't begin unless you have an ending. You don't hear yourself saying that, but you are saying that. Well, I believe you gotta get rid of an ego. An ego is bad, 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 bad. Get rid of your ego. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you know, ego. Get rid of that. No, if you got rid of your ego, you'd be getting rid of yourself. Well, you want to get rid of it? No. Well, of course not. What the hell can we do to get out of this dilemma? I'm well receptive to any suggestions here, because that's my dilemma. What I'm trying to do with sentience is put a bunch of information together in some form or nature, such that it is a field of knowledge about you. You don't care how the universe works, you only care how it works for you. Aha! Well, nobody tells you that. So sentience is about how the universe works for you, and how you can take aspects and treasures of the universe and work all that for you. Maybe you have a bigger part in the universe than you ever thought. Well, we'll see. So, sentience is an attempt to give you the knowledge and visualize a vision of self. And it is intended, whether I succeed or not, I don't know. It's kind of like my intention was to kind of explain, gee whiz, you don't continue, but you don't not continue either. I guess I failed that one. This is intended to give you a greater realization of yourself. If you don't continue, but you don't not continue, does an eternal self make sense? Isn't that a paradox? It makes no sense at all.
Yeah. So yeah, I wanted to say yes, it does, but I have a problem with it. Yeah,
that's right. You can say yes, it does make sense, but it doesn't make sense unless you can tell me what sense it makes.
Yep, and that's going to be problematic trying to do that in language. Languages.
No, you can use language to describe
what you are
talking about, but you don't do that. You can't language an answer, per se.
Yeah. So, Raj, I think that's what I'm missing here, is I'm missing that clear picture of what that means.
Of what means?
An eternal self that doesn't continue but doesn't not continue.
I said to you, and I'll give you this example again.
Mm-hmm.
We look back and say, here's a past life of you, which we call the China doll life.
Yep.
And we say, that's you in the past, but you didn't live that life, and it's really not you. And you are not a continuation, but it is your life. You're okay with that because you can grab a hold of yourself and say, I don't give a shit what he says. I got a hold of myself.
That's right.
But if I take you back into that lifetime and say, okay, now, here you are. You as China doll person here will never, ever continue as China doll. But you wouldn't want to do that anyway. But you wouldn't want to, but I can say to you, but you won't not continue either. Because you'll have a future life as Andrew, which isn't really you, but it is your future life. Would that make sense to you? See, I don't know how to illustrate it other than that so far.
Yeah, that makes sense to me the way you say it, but if I try to language it and explain it inside the language of our how we order our beliefs and everything else.
That's right, you can't do that. There is no word for each of those processes. And so if I say to you, wait a minute, if you understand this, then your life today, Andrew, is the eternal self that you wanted as a China doll in that China doll life.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is your eternal life, but it's not you. You're not China doll.
Oh. Right, that's right. It's the you thing that catches me, because I glom onto you as if it means Andrew, and I've been playing with that over the last week, that I'm actually an eternal self living as Andrew.
Okay, we'll get into this, but that's the problem of using pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Because the you of China doll is the same word you of Andrew, but
yep.
They don't mean the same thing.
Right, but to get this across in general terms to people who haven't got a specific name for their eternal self, I can see it.
Well, even if I use a different name, you would still be in that, trapped in the structure of language and really wouldn't get it.
Right.
You'd get close, but even by using Andrew and Anno or China doll and Andrew and Anna and give them all Anno and give them all separate and different names, that helps a little bit. And I don't disagree, there's a problem here. Let me give you another example.
Wow, two examples. Okay.
Can you understand that the universe is not expanding? There is no universe that is expanding.
Okay.
Because in every moment, it's a different universe. It isn't the same use that looks different. It's an entirely different universe. Can you understand that?
Yes, I can understand.
Well, we'll go over it several times tonight, or this night and next week, because we've run out of time pretty fast. Because you got to grasp on that. If this is the case, when we say, okay, then there is no a universe expanding, that in every moment is a different universe. The word universe, which is a noun, is actually a pronoun.
And which is a pronoun?
The word universe is a pronoun.
Interesting.
Because
really?
It is a, let's say this, it is a apparent designation of a subset of universes. Jim Webb will love that when he gets
it. A what of universes?
A subset of universes. There is no A I
know,
use.
You said stop you when you said stop you and understand. I don't understand.
Okay. What? Why don't you understand?
I thought you didn't. I didn't thought you didn't subscribe to the multiple universes theory.
No.
Subset of universes.
There is not a.
Not
a not a different universe the way Kakao and a few others explain it to be. That's all I'm talking about.
All right.
I'm discussing, can you understand that an expanding universe is a different universe than it's a multitude of universes?
Okay, now I got you.
It's not a universe. It's a whole multitude of universes, and when we use the, or realms, whatever we want to call it, sub-universes or realms, and when we use the word universe, we're really using that like a pronoun, you. And
okay.
it uh-huh. confuses everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he means is not a multitude of universes under that. He means separate and individual universes. Or this is where we get the concept of that there are different dimensions in the universe. Well, but you see, each universe, like every moment, replaces the prior moment. Then every universe replaces. It doesn't mean they all exist simultaneously.
All right.
We okay with this so far?
Oh,
you best. You best be, because that is going to be fundamentally necessary in understanding a few other things. Go,
Is that true for that it's not simultaneous replaces the same concept for past lives? Not simultaneous, but replaces.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that. It's a slightly different concept, but yeah, let's assume that each past life that you list, if you list them chronologically, each past life replaces the prior past life. That's not entirely true, so I have to hang back here. But that's a reasonable concept of that at the present time.
Okay.
But that sounds to me like if this life replaces that life, it sounds like that life ended when this one replaced it.
No, it never ended. It never had to end. It just got replaced.
Replaced means it's not there anymore, though, right?
Yes, but it doesn't mean that the other ended. See, this is the point. This is where language... if I drive...
The body ended.
What?
The body ended.
Well, I didn't even want to go there. I was going to use a different...
That might help them more.
What?
That might help them.
She said, okay, the body ended, but you did not. What I was going to say in this thing, if I drive to town... going north and turn west on Henry Street, going north didn't end. Going west on Henry Street replaced going north on the highway.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So it's like the track you're taking is the life that is
it's what?
Replaced. So the past life that we're talking about that was replaced.
You just go in a different direction.
It's still going in a different direction.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Oh. So the past life is really still, I'll say there, say now, in the life you are now as Andrew or Sally, but it doesn't mean that that past life has ended.
So what you're saying, and this is a true, but there is and another thing going on as well. But what you're saying is that China doll life is still going on within Andrew today, just as samurai is going on within Patrick today, and cabin boy is going on within Karen today. So cabin boy is not Karen. Karen is not cabin boy, but cabin boy is going on as Karen. But that means cabin boy didn't continue because cabin boy is now Karen. So we can say he didn't continue, but he did not continue either.
Right. So, but cabin boy's body has been replaced, but cabin boy wasn't replaced.
Let's assume that for a moment, but be very careful about that, because now you just are close into destructing everything in terms of religion, saying, okay, your body dies, but your soul goes on. You get resurrected in a new life.
Right.
And you've got to be very careful that you, because that's as close as religion was willing to explain it. And what I'm trying to say, well, wait a minute. The best thing I'm going to be able to say here is, cabin boy, it ain't you. We're talking about Andrew. So cabin boy didn't continue. But, well, he's didn't not continue either.
Right.
Does this make any kind of a sense?
Yeah. Yep, getting there.
If you can understand that, as long as we got something going here, then is it possible that through DNA, your body with all of its ancestors, you're keeping all those ancestors going?
Right. Yeah.
Do you understand this? That's not your soul. You didn't live those lives. That's not you. You didn't bring that on. This is an answer. And not only that, you bring, as we have said before in data information through entanglement, that you're bringing and continuing everybody that every ancestor...
Right.
We okay so far?
Yeah, so yeah, there's innumerable replacing.
You what?
There's innumerable replacing.
Okay.
That are accessible, if you will, in the whatever you are at this moment. I don't know how to language it.
But what I'm saying in this, I want you really got to hang in there with this one.
Okay.
That when one replaces the other doesn't end.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And if it doesn't,
if
that doesn't end, then you today are one hell of a multitude, are you not?
Right.
Oh, yes. I did not have that picture.
Yeah.
You with me? So you think of yourself as one little insignificant piece of crap in the universe, and all of a sudden you are a hell of a force and a multitude in the universe. Is that okay?
Can I say two things here?
Sure.
One, that makes that pulls together a lot of things that I remember having said in prior conversations. And two is, I think, just so you know, whenever I was hearing Begin Again,
I was actually, and the replacing of the prior moment, I actually was thinking of starting over again as a one little thing. That's true.
That's right.
I didn't have a multitude going.
Okay, what I'm trying to do is, through sentience, is what we're talking about you, is to give you a greater image of yourself. In other words, get rid of that confined and limited image of yourself as being, well, I'm crappy little Andrew. Oh, no, right. Roger says I'm great Otto. No, I got news for you. You are one hell of a multitude. How about them apples?
Them are good apples. I'll take another, please.
Are we okay so far?
We're doing better than okay, yeah.
You haven't heard that ever before. And you haven't felt that concept in your life, or felt yourself fully that concept in your life. We okay so far?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Now, yep. I'm going to tell you something that we'll bring up here later. That makes you one hell of a threat to the universe. Wait a minute. We'll go over this later, but I'm going to bring it up now. We'll continue it. I may say it 37 dozen times. The universe has been doing stuff randomly so, and keeps everything in harmony. It didn't need intention. Everything just functioned harmoniously. You cause this, and that occurs, and this again, and it causes again, and it goes again, and everything works like clockwork. And you, as a sentient being, only aware of your tiny... Did you ever see a picture of our galaxy?
Yep.
You know, it's a made-up picture of our galaxy, and you think, and then they show an arrow that says, this is our solar system, and in that galaxy, out in one arm, is one star somewhere, and that's our whole damn solar system, and you are a teeny, 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 teeny tiny speck in that. Mm. Wait a minute. What if, when you look at that picture, you say, no, I'm not. I am as big as I feel right now looking at that picture. If that's the case, are you then, in fact, maybe you are one hell of a threat to the universe, to the galaxy, if not the universe? Hello, anybody?
That's very interesting. You know, I'm sorry, I was just thinking of something that's probably totally off subject, so I want to say it, but I won't.
Okay, if you won't. Now, why, as what I've said, you're a loose cannon, you're a loose cannon in the universe. You're a wild card. Why is that? The universe works mechanically and in harmony, and everything works just Jim Dandy. Sir Isaac Newton said that. And the universe, science says, has no place for you. Why? Because you and what you will do is too uncertain.
Yeah.
Right.
You are a sentient being of that multitude, of that power, of that size, of that force. And you are a wild card. We don't know what the hell you're likely to do.
Right.
You are a threat to the universe. All this time you thought, well, the universe is a threat to me because I want to do this, and it's going to bring a hurricane. A hurricane be damned. I want you to think of yourself to this extent and realize the threat that you are or represent to the universe. Because you don't know what you're going to do. You haven't decided. Something comes along and you'll take a jab at that, and oh, I'm going to be spontaneous. Well, that's what the universe was afraid of all along.
Right. No, this means I am not reliable for the universe.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the question is all of this we've been talking about some way to make you reliable in the universe? In other words, don't let that Simone out. Don't let her out into the universe. She's too unreliable. We got to get Simone reliable before we can let her loose. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, because if you're you and not you, and you don't continue, then there's a reliability in that, is it not?
Well, when you got some emotions going, I don't know what the hell how you're going to react.
That's right.
But you see, if you decide, hey, wait a minute, stop that, Roger, don't talk to me like that. I have declared this is my eternal self, and this is the way I will be, and this is the way I will always be and live in the universe eternally. Haven't you created a reliability for the universe in that? But in that, then, it's the way you act reliably so relative to, and we can count on that. Well, then you are reliable, but that reliability has not boxed you into a corner.
Right.
Because no matter if, once you decide on that and made that decision, well, then we can know that wherever you go, this is how you will be and live and react in the universe. Not what you will do, but the way and the manner in which you will do whatever you're going to do. You're no longer a wild card. But in that, then, you're free within that decision to be and do whatever you choose to do, because you will always choose your eternal self.
Yeah.
And I also become reliable to myself.
Well, that's what's most important here. You see?
Right.
And don't get caught up in the word reliable and try to be reliable. It's making this decision or understanding yourself as an eternal being that makes you reliable, but you don't try to become reliable. You don't distort your actions.
Right.
Well, how can we determine your reliability? I don't want to get into this too far, but I'm going to tell you that your provenance is a history. It's a reliable history of you.
Right.
When people have talked about, oh, well, at death you go through this life review and you get to see all the bad things you've ever done and some of the good things and measure the good against the bad, and that's karma and that. Crap. If there is any life review at all, it's a historical review of this is what you have done. It's not a matter of the doing. Now, we're not talking about this is what you have done. We're talking about the things you have done, not the doing itself. Does this make sense?
Not the action.
It's not the actions that is important.
Really?
No.
I'm sorry, I missed that. I guess I always thought it was the action.
I know you thought it was the action. And I'm trying to say it's not. The action is important only in that. And it's really not important, and I can get into that too. But in that, it is the thing you have done, not the doing. So when I put up on the eternal site, the things It isn't my doing those things, it's my pride in the things themselves, not in the doing of those things. That means
I got a question.
Okay.
Didn't that get us into, like, the old judgments of religion and stuff?
No.
So what you did is what counts?
No. What I'm getting into trying to say, it is the things that are both the history and the source of information to you, not what you do or the way that you do it.
I guess I'm sorry, I would need more talk on that.
So can you talk about that in terms of, say, Cabin Boy or China Doll or whatever? Can you put some kind of, and I hate to use the word example, illustration, of the difference between the thing you do different from the action?
Well, I don't know, why don't we talk about, like, the action of, somebody, like, I don't know, raping somebody, leaving them for dead or something. Is that something?
Why do you want to go there, Andrew?
Hey, we're there already, right?
No, we're not there. Why do you want to go there? Why do you talk over Sally to go there where I... And you just demonstrated everything that I have said.
Right.
Why do you want to go there? Why do you insist on going to the action and not the thing?
I did go to the thing, didn't I?
No, you went to the... Well, you raped somebody. You went to the action of rape and the judgment of rape and etc., not to the thing.
Maybe I don't understand what the thing is. Okay.
Well, what is the thing?
This
is the point. When most of you guys are talking about the thing, you are really, really, really only talking about the action. When I asked you and I gave you eight things you have done that you are proud of, let's say you listed these eight things, you didn't list the action, you listed the thing. Like my site up there, it is the pictures that I've presented, Chita Hot Springs, house in Sarasota, etc. My doing them is immaterial. The things themselves give you a picture or image of me.
Oh. Did we lose somebody?
What?
Oh. All of a sudden it went kind of silent.
Oh, I know, because it's tough to get past this point in regard, because, like I said, no matter what I say, your mind is going to talk over everything that I might be saying and say, no, it's the action of doing the thing that's important. And I say, no, it's not. The action doesn't matter. The action of the thing starts causing or creating the judgment. If I tell you the thing only, there is no judgment. What?
I'm not sure about that. Is the thing building?
Simone, you're breaking up. I can't hear a word you've said. You came through with chattery. Start over again.
Is the thing, in your case, the building, and the painting, and the planning, the doing?
You see how quickly you went from a building to planning and doing, and you didn't stay with the things, you immediately slipped right into the action.
Oh,
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
No, that's but right. That's what I. That's
action and what is the thing.
That's right. Everything that you've ever been taught and everything about language keeps you focused on that verbing.
Action. Yes. Yes.
So, Roger, is cabin boy a thing? Is past life a thing?
No, we.
Rather than a do.
We just refer to cabin boy as a pronoun so we know what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is the consequence, not the doing. It didn't matter how he did it or what he did. What he did was in having the two forces communicate.
Okay, that was the thing,
yeah.
Not the doing.
That's right. It doesn't matter how he did it, but what he ended up with in that regard is the captain and crew, the officers, were communicating and working together with the crew. So that's the thing, the consequence, not in a sense you would say. Even the word consequence is a problem, because if I talk about consequence, you're only thinking of consequence of the action. What I want you to do is think of the things of yourself not as actions or results of actions.
So each of the pronoun past lives, you could do the same list 8 accomplishments, and that would be the things of those past lives, which could still be relevant.
So if I tell you the things of those past lives in that regard, then
right.
That is part of your provenance, as it is a history of the things that are you. You got it?
That's a great description. That's a great description.
That's what provenance is all about, which we'll get into. I got a lot of stuff to say about that too. But then we can list, for instance, when I wrote the story about that I read about, or I told you about, that I wrote in 1986, I never described or anything about the individual per se, so that in that each person reading it would create their own image from the things that he had done.
Right.
Now, When I was working on this, what I did is, I said, okay, if it's the things and not the actions, then I should be able, my mother wrote out in 1986, sort of a history of her life since 1905 or whatever it was. And she listed all these things that she had done, or things that occurred, or things that happened, and etc. If you, and I went through and decided to read that to find out, if I just was reading a history of things of a person, events and occurrences or things, would that give me an image of the person? The answer was yes. So I read the images of events and occurrences or things in her life. And you have a complete image of that person. And that's her provenance. This is her. You don't know her, but I do. But so then the lives that you have picked or chosen for let's say, to portray as a past life, the image of those lives, not the doing of those lives, but the image of those lives portray you. If you want an image of who the hell am I, what's my life all about, it isn't about what you are doing. It's to say, hey, let's get an image of this doer guy here. If I focus on the verb or the action, then I don't have an image of me. If I focus on what Sally has done, the thing she has done, that gives me an image of Sally. But if I only focus on the actions, I don't know anything about the Sally that's doing these things. Is that okay, Sally?
Yes, we were on mute for a second there. Yes, that makes sense.
Hey, Roger, can I ask you a question before you want to keep going on that?
I didn't hear you, Pat, or Andrew.
Can I ask you a question on this, or do you want to keep going where you are?
No, go ahead and ask the question. We've gone off my outline anyway. I'm only on page 1A.
Okay. All right, help me understand this. Help me understand blowing is the wind relative to what you just said. Meaning, if I don't know what something is, this is what I have in mind already. If I don't know what something is, if I see what it does, I can know about it.
But what it does does not necessarily, in that regard, speak of the action.
Okay, so what is the action then as we're talking about it? So there's a difference between a doing and an action.
No. I don't know why you want to go here, Andrew, because what you're doing, you're killing me here. You're frustrating me. You're demonstrating to me and everyone that is listening and that you don't want to get off the focus on the action. And I'm asking, as long as you won't get off the focus of the action, there is nothing that I am going to say that's going to get you off of that or is going to resolve anything. I'm merely saying, could you not follow along that if I have a consequence, a thing that I can take a picture of. You there?
Yep.
If I have a thing that I can take a picture of, or I can visualize the thing itself, I begin to have an image of Andrew. If I have an image of Andrew action doing something, I don't know anything about Andrew.
All right, let's go with that.
You don't understand.
I really don't, but I don't want to hold you up, so go ahead.
No, because if you don't understand, then I have to presume there ain't nobody else out there understand either. But, Sally, where are we with you?
I've got an image and a picture that I think the thing that clarified for me was just by talking, you talked about the 8 accomplishments, that exercise that we did. It didn't say how in the particular the doing of the thing that was accomplished. It's just the accomplishment, and that's the thing.
Okay.
So that was clear for me.
If I took 8 pictures, and I'm talking about still pictures now. If I took 8 pictures of Sally over a period of time, could I not have from those eight pictures, and they're all still pictures, do no matter what you are doing in the picture, they're still pictures, would I not have then an image of Sally? Could I not have an image of Sally?
Nobody who can answer that.
Well, you know, if you show me eight pictures, well, here I was at 5, and here I was at 10, and 20, and 30, and 60, would I not begin to have an image of Sally?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you said to me, here is a picture of Sally at doing this, but it's a still picture, so I don't see the action doing. I only see the thing you've done. You're standing next to an outhouse you built, or a playhouse you built, and then here is a picture of you riding a bicycle, and here is a picture of you getting married, and here is a picture of you and your first house, and etc. Would I not, still pictures, begin to have in a sequence in that regard, a more complete picture of Sally?
Oh, yeah. Rather than taking the picture and rather than taking the one particular picture of the riding the bike and then taking that and breaking it up into and making a film out of the riding of the bike, that shows the actioning, which is the connecting of each still.
Wait a minute. Why do you want to put this back into an action? I'm talking only about stills.
I know, but that's for me to distinguish the two. That's what I'm talking about.
Distinguish what two?
The idea of the thing or the doing.
There's no doing. There is no doing in the still picture. There is a done. Things
okay.
You have done.
Right.
So, therefore, I'm saying the things portray you because... All right, let me wait just a minute now.
Okay.
If you choose to do something...
Right.
Be very careful in this way I go. If you choose to do something, do you understand that you have given up every other choice in your life to do that?
Oh, say that again. I want you to talk more about that.
No matter what you choose to do in life, in doing that, you have given up every other thing in your life to do that one thing. Wait a minute. Don't give me or screw around with judgments and consequences. I said, isn't it reasonable that if you're doing something, you ain't doing anything else but what you're doing?
Okay, I got that.
You've given up everything just to do that one thing.
Okay, right, I get that.
Okay. Then, okay. That thing, not in the doing, but the thing that results from that must be very important to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You see?
Right.
And so I can say, if you tell me, if you show me a picture of all the things you have done, I can tell you or show you, or I can describe to you a picture of you. And I don't ever have to get into seeing you do these things.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I could go another way, but I'm afraid if I go to another illustration, we'll stretch that out into another problem. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Now, this is important because when I ask you of 8 things you have done, I must only use your word describing the thing done, knowing that in the words you use to describe the thing done are the words that describe you. For instance, does Lincoln's freeing the slaves, Lincoln's Gettysburg address, Lincoln's going out into, being on the battlefield with his commanders, those things, do they describe Lincoln persona, or does writing the Gettysburg Address, writing the proclamation that freed the slaves, or riding a horse out to the battlefield, does that tell you a whole lot about Lincoln? No. Lincoln at the battlefield, Lincoln, the proclamation freeing the slaves, and the Gettysburg Address per se tells you about Lincoln.
Right.
Right.
Why, that made a little more sense. It did.
And it's like, even I can think of it, and maybe this screws it up if I language it, even the saying writing, freeing, it's still something, and maybe a particular action rather than a done deal, something accomplished.
So.
Period, end of story.
So when you see riding a horse, or all those active verbs, they don't tell me anything. I don't know you that is doing those things.
Right. But rode a horse.
Well, it's more in this case, it's at the battlefield. The riding of the horse,
right,
per se, is immaterial. The writing of the Gettysburg Address is not important. The Gettysburg Address is. Or the writing the proclamation that freed the slaves is not important, but the proclamation is important.
So any even action of the idea of even getting there, if you will, is irrelevant.
That's right. Getting there is not relevant. There is what is relevant, where you went to.
Right, and it's the particular actions could be infinite, all kinds of actions.
We don't even give a damn about how you did it. We don't care about the actions at all.
That's right.
In that regard, there, in the nature of what we're talking about here. So, if I can't get you focus off of actions, you will never begin understanding yourself. And the reason for that is that you always, in the judging, when you see the action, the judgment arises because of the action.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is, I'm trying, and that's what sentience is all about, it's trying to give you a vision of yourself that is greater realization. For instance, in discussing the multitude of yourself, I never discuss the actions per se in that regard. I just create the image and try to relate that to the multitude. The image is such a multitude that you are then a force in the universe. Are we okay with this?
Yeah.
I hope so, because what we've done is we have always judged you because of the action that created that result.
Right.
So when we say you judge the consequences, not the action, you don't really even judge the action per se, but you're judging that the action created this consequence. If I give you a still picture, you can't make that association. And so I can get a picture of you. If I don't tie that to an action, I get an understanding of who you are. Okay, if I get an image of who you are, what you do doesn't matter. If you get an image of who you are, really, really, really have an image of who you are, and if by some declaration you declared who you were as an eternal being, you would soon find out that the action doesn't mean anything at all after that, because the action is always consistent with the image, and every action is intended to expand that particular image. And as Simone says, wow, now we've got some reliability going here.
Don't know if I could explain it, but that made more sense somehow.
Okay.
Well, and Roger, and how does that fit, align with, or whatever the word is, with you say, having said, for example, I'm here. And I don't know if your declaration of self saying,
discovering how the universe works and telling folks.
Right. So tell me how that fits with the discussion about things versus actioning or actions.
Once I declare that that's me, and I always carry that image of me, then anything I do is always relative to that image.
Okay. So, discovering the laws of the universe and telling others about it is not an action, then? It's a thing?
No. In a sense, that's an action. But does it matter how or in what way I go about discovering the laws of the universe and what I do, and how, if I tell you over the phone or if I write it out, does any of those actions whatsoever make a damn no?
So the self-sufficient action is the thing.
Well, if I have the image of myself in that regard, and then I know that the action is always relative to that image.
I see. Okay.
And if I don't have that image, then I'm a wild card in the universe, because I'm likely to be doing anything.
Right.
Whatever the mood or the emotion or the feeling or the instant strikes.
Right.
And then, for instance, I really screwed up my leg and I haven't been able to work outside and it's really something and etc. I would then, if in an ordinary position, I would be all upset and emotionally disturbed and etc. No, I just live my vision of myself in a different way. Don't let that then in any regard interrupt what I am doing, because I can do whatever I'm doing in an infinite number of ways.
Oh. So, that, in talking about this, you screw yourself over if you think, like you said, Pavarotti, singing, I sing. Singing is what I do. I have no life without singing, and that's just a particular action.
That's right, and he wanted to be a soccer player or whatever in all of this regard, is he's focused on the action, and the action per se in this regard tells him nothing about Pavarotti and tells him nothing about his life. He doesn't know whether he is a single, short, fat guy singing. Or if he is, suppose that I gave to Pavarotti an understanding of the tremendous, not just a tremendous voice out of a short fat guy, but a tremendous singing of a multitude. We okay with some of this?
So, singing of a multitude, the action wouldn't necessarily have to be a voice coming out of his mouth.
That's right.
His career.
Correct. It could be a harmony in the universe. It could be Om. It could be an expression of a universal sound. It could be a whole hell of a lot of different things in that regard. But it's the image he has of himself, not the image of an unknown whatever doing. There's no inspiration or satisfaction in an unknown fat guy singing.
Okay.
We okay?
Yeah. Okay.
But the image of Pavarotti being a multitude and that being expressed in his singing is a whole different ballgame.
Right, okay. Right. Right.
So the same applies to you. You judge yourself in doing this and not doing something else, but I say no.
Right.
If you've chosen to do this, like teach or whatever, then you've chosen to do that over anything else in the universe, then whether you, no matter even if you're complaining, then teaching is a true image of you.
Right.
And I mean teaching, not the action. I'm talking about being teacher.
Right. And actually,
and in that, I'm not, and in this regard, I'm not talking about you being a teacher. I'm talking more in what you are teaching.
Right. Teaching, translating, clarifying. Yes, I get it.
Okay. So it is the what that is important, not the teaching or translating or the whatever. That
right.
matters at all.
Okay.
Phew. The purpose of sentience is to expand the narrow vision you have of yourself and of your future and of the role of your role in the universe and the role in your life. Give me an image of, you see, now I'm trying to give you an image of looking at a picture of the Milky Way galaxy and saying to you that that, if I take a picture of that, the way you feel at looking at a picture of the Milky Way galaxy in relative relationship to you is what you really are, doesn't that change every concept you have of yourself?
Yeah.
Remember in 1969 when we got a picture of the Earth from the moon? Remember that NASA picture that was everything that was vitally? It changed your whole concept of life. But in seeing yourself, seeing the picture, could you put yourself into that role of actually being as big as you are in relationship to that picture in real life?
Right.
Does that make sense? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can do that, that's a real life picture of you. Now, the problem we've got here is, go get one of those NASA pictures and feel how it feels to be looking at the universe, and I mean at the Earth from the moon, and say, you know, this is really a true image or picture of me. I am this big or important or vital in the universe. Then you would say, golly whiz, maybe that means that no matter what I do when I get back to Earth, no matter what I do, I have a sense of the insignificance of what I'm doing relative to that other image of myself. Do you understand that? Did I get that across? Did I say that right?
Say it one more time. No matter.
You look at a picture. Have everybody got a... You used to have a picture hanging up in the in your room, didn't you there, Andrew? That picture of the Earth rising from the moon?
Yeah. Yep.
You got one there?
Several.
Have you got one there?
No, but I've got it so clearly in mind.
Okay, all right. And if you've got it clearly in your mind, then consider that you are the being that is that large relative to the picture of the Earth being that small.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Fact is, you have to wiggle yourself around to get back into a perspective of saying, no, I'm a tiny little thing, and the picture is a great big thing. No. You stay at the relationship of you to the picture itself, and you have a realistic view of yourself in the universe.
That actually makes more sense to me of life than the small and insignificant. I don't know why. It's always...
That's right. This is, now what we do is you carry that image that I've just described within you, and no matter what you're doing, it seems the doing is so insignificant because you have this big sense of yourself that you're carrying. Is that okay?
Yep.
The problem is there is nothing ever to say this is a valid image of yourself. Every image of yourself is merely only that tiny little particle. And everything else is overwhelming. We all right so far?
Yep.
And that is a sense of self on the one hand and an observation of yourself on another hand that puts you into great conflict all the time.
Yep.
Because everything you do, everything you do, no matter how we look at it or anything else, like Pavarotti, no matter how well he sings, relative to that relationship, that sense of his enormity, no matter how well he sings, it's insignificant. You got an image of this going, Sally?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. That you should even get a picture of that and hang it around, or have something that is of the same ilk, so that you can say, no, this is the true image of me relative to the earth or the galaxy. I am actually this, allow me this word, this large, I was going to use, I was this large. I am this expansive and this extensive.
Right.
What I'm going to try to do in going through this sentience is somehow bring you up to this awareness that this is all true. That this is the true image of yourself.
Right.
Are we okay?
It is.
What?
It is the true image. And I think you have a sense of that. I have a sense of that because no matter what I do, and it's that doing, then it's like, is this all there is? It's just like, oh, so what?
That's right.
It's feeling like never fulfilling. I'll say the word satisfied. It's never enough.
That's right. See, that's why. It's because underneath it all, you have this tremendous sense of yourself, which religion and philosophy and everything, no one's ever gone there for any kind of understanding. But that is, in fact, your impact and your true image of yourself in the universe. So what we're talking about, getting rid of ego, is getting rid of your confined image of your limited, confined image of yourself.
Right. Yep.
Whew. Okay. I don't think I want to go where my next outline went, except for, can you imagine God being a tremendous force in the universe? And you would say, well, I think so, yeah, sort of.
Yeah, sort of, right.
If you can imagine God being a tremendous force in the universe, actually, without realizing it, you are, in fact, sensing that you are a similar or particular force in the universe as well.
So, according to what we said earlier, he should be also a huge multitude.
Yes, ma'am. Everything is a multitude. It all went to hell when everybody thought of or considered it as a great oneness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no! We'll get into this later on. Science on the one hand, listen to this, science on the one hand starts with a singularity, then creates a law that prevents it and hasn't understood, they just tripped over themselves. We'll get into that a little bit. No. The universe didn't begin as a singularity, And that's what allows you to be the multiplicity that you are. If the universe began as a singularity, then you couldn't be a multiplicity. You had to be a oneness. Boy, did that screw everything up. Okay, well, let's leave it there for tonight. It's almost that time. I hope we got somewhere. Go get a picture. Go get a picture, the NASA picture of. Go get a NASA picture of yourself. Okay.
No, thanks for that. That helped a lot. We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, in many areas. So thank you for that.
That was awesome.
Okay, well, thank you.
Have a great evening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, thank you,
everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.